Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Detroit, Michigan, and earned a bachelor's degree in business administration from the University of Michigan and a master's degree in public administration from Wayne State University. From 2001 to 2009, she held several leadership roles for Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. She joined Priority Health in 2009 and has been its CEO since 2016. Priority Health is the second largest and fastest growing health plan in Michigan. Her name, Joan Budden. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to Joan Budden, who since 2016 has been the CEO of Priority Health. Joan, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack. It's an honor to be here.
Can we start by talking about your childhood growing up in Detroit and your mom and your dad, please?
Sure. Yeah. I grew up on the west side of Detroit, in what, you know, some people talk about is like the St. Suzanne's kind of neighborhood. It was our Catholic school that we all went to. It was a little, you know, it was a community that kind of ran from West Chicago, Plymouth Road to Tireman, Joy Road kind of area between Southfield and Evergreen. And it was a close-knit community of a lot of hardworking families.
Tell us about your mom and your dad, if you would.
Sure. My mom and dad were both very hardworking people. They both grew up, with kind of modest income family households, and I would say that's how I would describe our situation. You know, my parents had four kids, and both worked, and they were very hard workers. You know, they really were earnest about what they did. They were good people who worked hard every single day for their family.
What's the biggest thing, Joan, you learned from mom? And what's the biggest thing you learned from dad?
Oh, there's so many good lessons. You know, my mom was really a self-starter. She worked her whole life, and, you know, she taught me independence and that if you wanted something, you needed to go get it. And the importance of family. She came from a very large family, and every Sunday we would go over to her parents' house. So it was her brothers and sisters and 21 grandkids in about four or five rooms in a small house in Detroit. And, you know, it was great times. It was really enjoying the family. My dad was also grew up in Detroit, and he was a hard worker. And my dad had a great sense of kind of fellow man. He was one of those guys that everybody loved. And he was, he was who he was, and he accepted people for who they were. He worked very hard every single day of his life. And he taught us a lot about that. That's what he always drilled into our heads is that nothing, you know, overcame hard work.
You mentioned four kids. You had a brother and two sisters, and you were a middle child. Joan, what were your dreams as a young girl growing up on the west side of Detroit?
Wow, you know, I wish I could say that I had a dream of, like, becoming this or becoming that. I really didn't. I was always kind of wanted to have a family. I wanted to make a difference in the world, but I never had a certain dream throughout my whole career. I've always been very fortunate that opportunities presented themselves, and I was kind of just willing to go along with it, and it tended to work out.
All right. Your first job was, first paid job, I guess, was taking pizza orders at Lorenzo's Pizza in Livonia. What did that experience teach you?
Well, pizza was my favorite food and still is. And, you know, I took the orders over the phone, and I really learned how a small business operated. You know, in a lot of ways, it was about this guy who owned this little pizza, who had great pizza, and, you know, was hired a lot of high school kids to kind of run, help him run his business. And, you know, it's about treating the customer right and doing things right, paying attention to the details so that things went well. And, you know, it was a great experience. So, you know, certainly before that, you know, we always had jobs, you know, around the house. We would babysit and do different things like that. But that was my first real experience, and it was a good one.
You've been honored by so many organizations these last several years, and rightfully so. But deep down, first and foremost, you're a mom. And in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed Mother's Day to be held each year on the second Sunday of May, which we'll celebrate again tomorrow. Talk to us about being the mother of Megan and Mitchell.
Oh, my biggest accomplishment. By far, it's, you know, when I do get something, if I, you know, I always think of myself as just Joan. You know, I just want to be the person that people feel comfortable to going to, especially my kids. And I've always wanted to be there for them and for their friends. It means everything to me. And they're wonderful young adults, and I'm very proud of them. And I know that I, you know, was fortunate enough that my husband and I worked really hard and raised them to be great young adults. And I'm so proud of them for that. And they are who they are. They're not me. They have pieces of me. They each have different pieces of me. But they're really different and unique and special individuals. And I honor that. I don't try and make them something that I want them to be. I try and accept who they are.
Talk to us about a mother's love.
Oh, you know, my kids call me Mama Bear. So... you know, some moms are all full of hugs and kisses, and not that I don't hug and kiss, but I'm also, you know, I'm my kids' biggest advocate. I protect them, and I am there for them, but, you know, I am always worried about them, and I always want to make sure that I'm shielding them as much as I can. And so, you know, I think that how I convey my love is by being there person, their go-to person. I hope that I always will be considered the person that they can turn to. No matter what happens in life, good or bad, ups or downs, that I'm always there.
For a young woman listening tonight who's trying to balance being a mom and having a career, how do you do it, Joan?
It's the hardest part of life, no doubt about it. And I was so determined when I was younger, and I guess I have to say in a little way stubborn, I was not the kind of person that did well staying at home. And so I forged through it, you know, and I think that there are certain compromises that happen when you do that. And if you could have some hindsight, you would know that that's a special time in your life and that you need to make sure that you're putting enough priority on that. But it's not on your shoulders alone. I mean, especially nowadays, my husband was a great partner with me. He walked through that journey right with me. We made decisions together, and we were yin and yang. What I couldn't do, he did. He was he's an incredible dad. And it's lucky that I had that support because it really helped me. But, you know, I would tell young moms, too, there's no shame in getting outside help, right? We've had some wonderful nannies that helped us. We had one gal, Sarah, was with us forever. And, you know, she was like a second mom. She was there for us, all of us. And, you know, I think that's a great thing to do. If it helps you be a better mom, it's okay. It's perfectly fine.
We're talking to a most extraordinary person, Joan Budden, who in 1983 was a dental hygienist. She's done it all. And I'm Jack Prisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Prisula, and with Joan Budden, CEO, Priority Health. Joan, The whole world can mock you, cheat you, write you off, steal from you. But there's two entities that will always be there for you. One is God, and the other is your mom. No matter what the kid does, why is that?
Oh, I don't know. I think the bond starts when you're carrying the baby, and it's a unique experience, right? So, you know, you can't go through that and not feel that special, special feeling. And I think it's probably something that women are so fortunate to be able to experience in life. And even if you aren't fortunate enough to be able to carry your baby, I think that when you adopt and you have a baby or a child and they look to you, so it is, it's just, it's something like no other. And, you know, I appreciated that more, not just when I was a little kid. When I finally had my own children, that's when I appreciated my mom to me. That's when you really feel it.
Speaking of going through that, the teenage years, how did you get through their teenage years?
Those are tough years. We still talk about those years with our kids today. We just had dinner, the four of us, and I talked to them about how there were times when they knew I wanted to kill them, and they knew that too, but they're glad that I didn't. And you know, you just find your way through. I think there's a couple things that help, and that's having friends that you can talk about that with, right? So, like my older sister, Janet, she used to give me great advice about, her kids were a little bit older, so she had been through it. So she would say, you got to let them fail on your own, right? So you kind of have to understand that you can't do everything for them, and that they learn by skinning their knees sometimes too. Then I think having a good partner helps you, whoever that partner is. If it's your best friend, it's your husband, who is your best friend, or you know, if it's a girlfriend, I think that all works, and you have to have people that you can go to and you can trust and you can rely on, because you'll have days that are you're just ready to pull your hair out. But they all come through it, and, you know, teenagers turn into wonderful young adults who you go back to having fun with.
When we were kids, we had to matriculate through firecrackers. Kids today, with the internet, the pornography, the opiates, the drugs, what do you say to moms out there with young kids today?
Well, you know, that's really tough. I think you're right. I think, you know, when my kids were in that age group, kind of social media was just starting out. And, you know, I was worried. So I did things like I put spyware on my kids' computers and those kinds of things, and it would go on their phones. And it was funny because the kids figured that out. And my daughter, when she had something really juicy to talk about with her girlfriends, she would say, "Call me because my mom watches everything I say and do." Now my son, he knew it, but he didn't care. They still had the conversation and just let me find out on my own. So that was kind of interesting. And I think about when we were kids, right? That spyware was your mom's network in the neighborhood. So if you were going to ride your bike and try a cigarette on this corner, she would find out about that before you even got home. But in today's world, it's so difficult. And I think just staying on top of it is the best thing you can do, however that is, whether it's mom networks or, you know, staying on top of the social media and the technology. I really admire people when they say that they make sure when they give their kids technology that they that their children know that they have the right to have the password and they have access to everything they do. And I think up into a certain age, that probably works really well.
The late, great Robert Shuler, who I believe grew up on the western side of Michigan and then went out to Garden Grove, California, started at Crystal Cathedral, he once said, quote, "The biggest thing that a dad can do for his children is to love their mom." Joan, why so?
Well, I think that a dad emulates, it shows a son how to treat women with respect and how to show love. And equally important, he shows his daughter what it's like to be loved. So how should you expect to be treated? But I don't think that's true just for the husbands. I actually think it's equally true for women. So So we need to treat each other with respect. I need to love him and honor him. He needs to do the same for me. It's a joy to be around couples who have that with each other. And we enjoy spending time with other couples who have that.
Your husband, Doug, is listening now, and he's saying, yes, yes, yes.
He's also saying, you don't know what it's like to live with her every day, just so you know.
All right.
And I don't have my fair share of walking the dog. I think that'll make him happy that I said that.
Tomorrow's Mother's Day, special day. What advice would you give the husbands tonight?
Well, you know, I think Mother's Day is just the month before Father's Day. So, you know, you treat your wife right, and then it comes around full circle in a month. So that's good news. But, you know, it's always a good idea. You know, early on in our marriage, my husband and I were told by, I think, a pastor at our church at one of the sermons that if you felt like you were giving more than your partner, then you're probably giving just about the right amount. So no matter what you're doing, it seems like you're doing so much more, they probably feel the same way. So always give everything you can.
I once heard a pastor give a homily that said, every good marriage, in every good marriage, the man wears the pants in the family, and every day the woman tells him which pair to wear. So, okay. All right. You've got a terrific career here, Southeast Michigan, Blue Cross Blue Shield, you know, rising star, you're very established, you and Doug, etc. And then in 2009, you moved to Grand Rapids to join Priority Health. Joan, why?
You know, I did have a wonderful time at Blue Cross. I met so many of my friends today and great experiences, great people, learned a lot. There was just a point in time in my career that I wanted to know what it would be like to be at another organization, and Priority Health is within the state of Michigan. I had a friend that went there, and he felt that there was a great culture at Priority Health. So the difference is Priority Health is part of a provider system, so it has hospital, medical group, as well as a health plan, and it's different than being a standalone insurance company. There's also Priority Health has a more equal balance between men and women in the leadership roles, and so it's a smaller organization, so the culture is a little bit different than any large organization. So it's just a great fit for me to see a different perspective and how you make a difference in people's lives.
If you want to learn more, www.prioritihealth.com. Priority Health is the second largest and fastest growing health plan in Michigan. And Joan, you serve and lead 1,200 coworkers. Tell us about your team.
Oh, it's a great group of people. So one of the things I've been doing since I became CEO is kind of a listening tour, going around and just meeting with small groups of people. And, you know, to a person, whether they sit in Traverse City or they sit here in Grand Rapids or Holland or Kalamazoo or Southfield, you know, they're focused on the member and doing what's right for the member, how to make them be their healthiest, get healthy, stay healthy. It's just embedded in our culture, and I love that. It's not something I created. It's part of who we've been from the beginning.
You have over 725,000 customers that you and your team serve. Talk to us about the people you serve.
Yeah, Jack, actually, you know, every year we touch 1 million lives. So 997,000 people come to us each calendar year. Some people stay for the whole year, and some people just stay for a couple of months. As you know, like people who are on Medicaid, for example, may only be eligible for a part of the year, or an individual, a person who buys a policy themselves, called an individual policy, may need only coverage for 6 months, and then they get a job and they get coverage through their employer. So all in all, throughout a year, we touch almost 1 million people here in Michigan. And, you know, it's people who are buy coverage themselves. It's people who are eligible for Medicaid. It's people who get coverage through their group commercial. You know, one of the segments I'm most proud of is our senior markets, people who are eligible for Medicare. So these are people turning 65, and many of them held a different card through most of their lives. But when they turn 65, the majority of the time when they're buying a Medicare Advantage plan themselves, they pick Priority Health more than any other plan in the state of Michigan. And they stay with us 97% of the time. They re-enroll year after year. That's measured by the federal government, not our own numbers. So it's really, I'm so proud of that because I really feel like, you know, seniors can be a vulnerable population and we do a really great job with them.
We're talking to Joan Budden. Priority Health was founded by a group of physicians and hospitals, and more than 30 years later, they're still committed to their original vision of an insurance group that cares about the community and its members. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula, and we're with Joan Budden. Joan, let's go back to 2016. How did you tell your husband, Doug, and Megan and Mitchell that you'd just been offered the job to become the CEO of Priority Health?
Yeah, you know, it was so special because my husband was my biggest supporter through the process. And if you've ever, you know, applied and pursued a very important job like this, it's a strenuous process. It's very tense. And he was with me through it all. And so when I was going to the CEO of Spectrum Health, Rick Breon's office, was going to find out one way or another, you know, he was at my beck and call the second I got the news and left the Mr. Breon's office. You know, it was like 2 seconds later I called him and was so happy and celebrated with him, and it was a very exciting time. I wanted them to be proud of me. You know, I feel like there were times where I compromised, you know, our family situation for my career, but I always did it for us at the same time, and I wanted them to be as proud of me as I had been of my own accomplishments.
If you want to learn more, www.PriorityHealth.com. More and more women are breaking this glass ceiling. We see it in Patty Poppy, Consumers, Mary Barra, et cetera, et cetera. What advantages are there in being a woman in the role of a CEO/president?
You know, I've had the pleasure of meeting both Patty and Mary, and they're just wonderful people. And I don't know if there's advantages to being a woman, but I will say that women have very different styles, and that usually they're a little stronger on the emotional intelligence, and they come with a different kind of approach to the business than maybe what historically has been. And one of the things I strive for is to be known as a good CEO, as a good leader. Whether I'm a woman or a man, I think that is what I want people to remember me by, is that I was a good CEO for them and for their company and for as their members, that they felt that I led the company right. And I think that's what's important in the end.
Throughout your career, you've been thrown into a wide variety of ever-challenging assignments. Time after time, you've gotten up to speed very quickly and been very successful at it. What's the key?
You know, I think it's really learning that you can do it. So early on in my career, I was with some of the brightest people I worked with, and I so enjoyed learning from them. And I thought that's what I did. I was doing strategic planning. I thought, well, I'm a strategic planner. And it really took somebody to really push me outside of my comfort zone to go somewhere else. And what I learned was that actually I liked that job too. And that what I learning, being open to figuring out what you like to do, how you like to do it, and that you can do it, is all about taking on new opportunities and new challenges. So some people like to lead and develop people. Some people like to figure out problems and challenges. And some people like to run things when they're going smoothly. So I think figuring out, you know, how do you fit in and how can you best use your talents and skills is part of the solution.
I quote you now.
Uh-oh.
I like to treat others as if I don't have any power.
Right. You know, Jack, I think of myself as just Joan. So on many given days, I am just me, and I like coming from that position. So sometimes I'm walking down to the gym at Priority Health to work out after work, and I'll have a conversation with somebody. I'll tell you a little story. I was going to work out. I had my clothes on already, and I was talking to a gal in the hall. We were just talking about her hair, actually. She's a really nice lady. It was raining outside, and we were talking, and she kind of said to me, "Well, you are just the sweetest little thing. Where's your cube?" And I love that. I loved it that she just liked me for me and that we were just talking. And I think that is one of my cherished moments here at Priority Health.
How did you answer that question? Where's your cube?
I said, "Oh, I'm just in the other building. I'll run into you again at the gym."
Okay, another quote. Think big, start small.
Yeah, and adjust fast. And that one I'm absolutely passionate about. Because early on, I would see too many of these grandiose projects and ideas that you wanted to make so perfect and so big, so encompassing, that they never were successful. So have that big idea, because the world is changing fast, right? And we all need to adjust. But I don't think you can get it done well and quickly if you try and accomplish all at once. That's like the elephant, right? Bite off a little chunk, get that done, make the adjustment, move on, keep moving. I think those are the most successful and rewarding projects.
Next quote, "I like change, I thrive on it." Joan, a lot of people, they don't want change, right? They hide from change. In today's world, the only constant is change. What do you say to those people?
You know, I think I'm trying to really, like, learn, like study and think about what is the upsetting thing. And often change, what people are afraid of, including me, is that you're going to lose control, that you're going to lose power. And so what I try and say is that if you're good today doing it this way, you're still going to be good tomorrow doing it a different way. It's okay. You'll still be there. You're still going to have your job. You're still going to have the control. You'll still have the power. But we all need to evolve, or then the jobs really get in jeopardy.
Speaking of change, the world you're in is in hyper-change. Talk to us about ongoing technological revolutions in healthcare.
Right. It's unbelievable. So there's policy change going at the federal level, but really the real change that's going on in healthcare is advancement in technology and advancement in medicine. And both of those things are occurring, right? So on the medical side, you know, you've got pharmacogenetics, and you've got, you know, procedures being able to be done much more, less invasively, or in an outpatient setting instead of an inpatient setting, you know. Lots of things going on in terms of advancements in medical capabilities. On the other side of the equation is you have technology. So the use of artificial intelligence, or the use of mobile technology to monitor chronic diseases, or, you know, people with who are in frail conditions that used to have to be seen face-to-face in a physician's office can now be monitored remotely. It also means that, for example, you can get areas of the country or the state that don't have access to all the specialty care they need. You can get it there virtually. So that disruption really, you know, is a platform for how things are going to be different. As in a health plan, what we need to do is encourage and foster quality change and to be open to doing things differently ourselves. So that might mean paying providers to keep people healthy, not just paying them when they're sick.
We're talking to Joan Budden. Priority Health's focus is providing communities with quality care that's accessible and affordable. As a non-for-profit health insurance company, Priority Health aims to give back to their members and spends 90 cents of every dollar on their members' health care. And I'm Jack Pasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to a most extraordinary young lady, Joan Budden, the CEO of Priority Health. Granted, there's terrific technological change advancements, but preventative care is a huge factor in living a long, healthy life. Talk to us about preventative care and what you're seeing.
Right. So, you know, that's actually how HMOs, which is what we originally were, now we have PPO and POS products as well, but, you know, it was all based on the fact that we want to keep people healthy, not just treat them when they're sick. So we have an emphasis on, you know, wellness, early detection, and prevention. So making sure that you understand your risk for disease, what you can do in terms of diet and exercise, and your heredity in terms of your individual circumstances. So I think that, you know, a big part of who we are at Priority Health is making sure that that we help people understand their personal health condition and how do they stay their healthiest and where to invest and how to invest. And it changes. It's different for each and every person.
If you want to learn more, www.priorityhealth. I've been amazed at how the moms in America have revolutionized what their husbands and children are eating. And they learn so much from talking to each other. How has that changed in your family this past 25 years?
Wow, I almost feel like my husband put you up to that question, Jack. So, truth be told, my husband is the cook in my family. So he actually does the grocery shopping, and he's an incredible cook. And so he has taught me and our kids about the value of good, healthy eating. You know, like every other family, I think, in America, we've changed from a lot of red meat to fish. My daughter, because she studied to be a dietitian and kinesiology in college, became a vegan. And so we've learned a lot about non-meat diets and how to still get proteins and how to eat healthy. So I eat quite a bit differently than how I did when I was growing up these days.
I quote you again, I believe affordability is the biggest challenge we face. Please.
By far. So my job is to make sure that people can have access and get the care that they need. They can't do that if they can't afford it, right? And so if on any given year, you know, we do our very best, but healthcare costs are still going up higher than CPI or than most people's wages. And so I think we really need to take advantages of those advancements in technology and in medicine to really lower the cost of care, to really focus on medicine that makes a difference in people's lives, that makes them healthier, not just doesn't do any harm, that is personalized and individualized, that allows them to be their healthiest. And we really need to change the pattern and the trajectory that we're on.
Okay, last quote of the evening. Find a mentor and be a mentor, please.
Oh my! I got some of my best advice from mentors along my way, and I would not be where I am today without their guidance and advice. But no matter who you are, you should also be mentoring somewhere else, somebody else. I think about how I grew up, and there were so many things I didn't know about the corporate environment because that wasn't an environment my parents were in. And there were so many things I had to learn about professionalism and being in the workforce. And that's little things that you can help other people accomplish and do. And so I always make time to people who reach out to me to see how I can help them be their best.
You go to the western side of the state in 2009 to this town called Grand Rapids, and you and your husband and children adopt it as your hometown. Tell us what makes Grand Rapids so special.
Well, I do love Grand Rapids. It's close to Lake Michigan. It's a great community. Everything is about 10 minutes away. People are very warm and welcoming. We still spend, my husband also has, we have a condo in downtown Birmingham, so my husband is there. I drive back and forth. He drives back and forth. We really kind of consider ourselves bi-coastal in Michigan. My son lives in downtown Detroit, so we're downtown in the beautiful new city of Detroit. We're out in the suburbs, and we're here in Grand Rapids. We're kind of everywhere.
You and your husband have the Budden Family Pathway Scholarship. Please.
We do. I really wanted to help people who had a similar journey to mine. So they had hardworking parents who might be just outside of the realm of getting a scholarship that they needed to be able to afford college. So we specifically looked at young women who came from modest incomes, maybe not the poorest household, but modest incomes, who wanted to go in healthcare, which means they want to help other people. And we'd like to help more people accomplish those dreams and goals.
Joan, what have these young women that you're helping through college taught you?
You know, you can have a lot of accomplishments in life, but there is nothing like helping somebody else achieve their dreams.
As our time winds down this evening, final question, what advice would you give to our young listeners, please?
Pick a great partner in life. It's probably the very most important thing that you could ever do. And I couldn't have the life I have, which I'm extremely blessed, without my husband.
And the 1,200 people that make up Priority Health are blessed.
Yeah, they're my work family.
Well, they're blessed to have you as
thank you, Jack.
Their servant leader. Keep up the great, great work.
Thank you so much.
Please
Happy
join
Mom's
us.
Day.
Thank you. Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohol.
Believe in yourself.